auspicious skies for amber waves of... Well, good afternoon. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, if you want to call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. And if we want calls, we'll ask for them. But right now, we have Jerry Guidetti on the line. And Jerry is from the ARC Institute. She's certainly done genetic engineering, worked at this for many, many years. She is a professional at genetic engineering and realizes that, of course, they can not only genetically engineer plants, they can genetically engineer all sorts of things today. But right now, we're going to be talking about about what's really happening with the avian flu. Really, as the pandemic is spreading across the world, and certainly it is in the birds. It's killed literally hundreds of millions of birds. But, of course, it's also now in Turkey beginning to spread into some of the people. So, Jerry, you pick up the story and bring us abreast of the latest happenings here in the last couple of days.
Sure, Stan. We have, unfortunately, watched an explosion of human cases almost simultaneously in various parts of the country of Turkey, not just one little area. And unfortunately, in many ways, I kind of think of this like the Katrina situation. The areas that were most affected and fastest were the areas that a lot of poor people lived in. And the government, of course, didn't respond to them as quickly as they should have. They didn't educate them and so on early on. And what has happened is there are people in these areas, in these many provinces, maybe 20 provinces are now affected in Turkey. They live in one and two-room shanty houses, many of them. Their sole source of food, especially in these bitter winters. They have minus 30 degrees, minus 35 degrees this past couple of weeks. They take their chickens indoors with them. And the children are trained very early to kill chickens, pluck their feathers, eviscerate them. They even have childhood games. They toss like you and I and our kids would do with a frisbee. They do the chicken's head. And the very first case that we had a week ago was in four children of one family who had slaughtered a sick chicken, and then they played the chicken head game, tossing it from one to the other, all four children. Well, they came down with flu symptoms. The first one was a 14-year-old boy. He was brought to the hospital. Oh, first of all, to go to a hospital costs about $1.50 U.S. They were very, very poor. They didn't have it. They went scrounging up coins from their entire village, trying to get together that much money. They finally did. They brought the boy in. They handed the hospital handed him a bottle of cough medicine, sent him home, and told the father he's just faking. He's trying to get out of going to school. So sent him home, and he was back in the hospital again. And it turned out he had deteriorated so much. Then the other sibs came down. Two of the other sibs came down with it. Three of the four children are now dead. World Health Organization has confirmed H5N1. In the two of those children, they're working on the third. Of course, it's the same thing.
All right, hold that thought there. We're going to be right back in just a moment with Jerry Guidetti right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Jerry Guidetti from the Ark Institute, and Jerry supports Radio Liberty and helps us as far as we can bring these programs to you. And Jerry's been talking about what's happening in Turkey within the last couple of weeks. Why, as you know, the bird flu pandemic has been spreading throughout the world. But then it came to Turkey, and certainly in Turkey, in one family where, of course, they brought the chickens into the home because it's very cold over there, 30 degrees below zero, so the chickens are brought into the home, and they slaughtered one of the chickens and was ill, certainly had H5N1 virus, and three of the four children are dead. And have they confirmed that all three of the children who died had the H5N1?
The H5N1 they have confirmed in the first two children, the two oldest children, and the third one did die, and those samples have also been sent, but they have identical symptoms. By the way, the symptoms are bleeding from the throat. Of course, all regular influenza kinds of symptoms and difficulty breathing and the whole business, but they bled from the throat, which is characteristic of the 1918 influenza pandemic in humans, where you had these hemorrhagic effects. The bleeding is part of the symptoms of these worst forms of avian-based influenzas. At any rate, the fourth child was just released today from the hospital. He's the six-year-old son. When you figure, if you were playing with a little ball and you've got three older children and you have one small one, who picks up the ball the least? It's usually the young one who picks up the ball the least. Since they were playing with a chicken head, you can kind of understand where this little six-year-old got very lucky in that he didn't contract the disease. Now, having said that, we have all over Turkey. Probably, if I do the math over these past 3 days, it appears that we have about 102 cases with symptoms of bird flu. They're in multiple hospitals. In one province alone, I think I counted four hospitals just in one area. It is in the city of Ankara, the capital of Turkey. It is now in Istanbul, and I think there are 14 million people in Istanbul. Whole families, unfortunately, because they are so poor, they are holding back killing their chickens in some areas because they said if they want to kill them, they have to pay us for them because we have nothing to eat. And the World Health Organization is working with Turkey now and saying they are going to be paid, but in the meantime, the people are very suspicious.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jerry is simply pointing out that in addition, of course, to this one family where three of the four children died, and at least two of those are confirmed to be H5N1 type of infection, and what is so characteristic of this type of influenza, different than other influenzas, is that there's a great deal of hemorrhaging from this. You ordinarily wouldn't see that, but of course this is what happened in 1918. And, of course, these children, certainly the three children, certainly have had the same sort of hemorrhagic symptoms. But now all across Turkey, and Jerry, what do you think about well over 70 people have now been hospitalized?
Well, it looks like many more than that. There are 102, apparently, that are suffering symptoms of bird flu. And now today, the World Health Organization has confirmed laboratory tests on 14 of the ones currently being treated. Don't forget, it takes some time to do these. So out of these, and I am roughly estimating 102 in the hospital all over Turkey with bird flu symptoms, and apparently these are all being treated. So there's a very good possibility that these are going to end up being bird flu as well. But you see, Stan, unfortunately, and this is when we were talking about vaccines in the past and so on, unfortunately, going through Turkey at the same time, simultaneously, is regular influenza A infections. And hospitals are filled with people suffering from influenza. And they're putting these bird flu influenzas in with them, not in the same rooms, but into these hospitals, further increasing the chance that the final mutation that we've all been dreading, if it hasn't already occurred, that it will occur because people with regular influenza will get co-infected with bird flu influenza, and then the recombinations or reassortments between these viruses will be able to happen inside these folks. Now, the gut feel of microbiologists and epidemiologists on this is there is likely to have been human-to-human transmission, and I'll give you some indirect proof for that. When the World Health Organization has released its findings, in every case in Thailand, Vietnam, China, etc., Indonesia, it gives the name of the patient, the age, the date of onset. Then it says how many members of the family were there, that the family is being held for observation, that the tests on the family were negative or positive or whatever, and they give this in a string, and it's a normal format. These reports in Turkey that the World Health Organization has just been putting out describe the three or four children in any of these families, and there are multiple families now infected. They describe them, and then they don't say parents are being held for observation, how many siblings were in the family, what was the date of onset, what was the date of release of the ones who weren't infected, and so on. So there's a lot of conjecture around among physicians, microbiologists, asking the question, why are they departing from their normal procedure? Is it because when they make the statement there is no evidence of human-to-human transmission, the reason there's no evidence is because they haven't published the evidence or they haven't yet looked close enough at the evidence? Now, last night, a team of 11 from the World Health Organization, epidemiologists supposedly, a microbiologist, arrived in Turkey, in Ankara, and they were to go by bus to the villages that were affected, and they were to study the epidemiology to see if we have human-to-human, which would mean that the human pandemic, not the bird pandemic, but that the human pandemic had occurred, and that we all have to immediately go into emergency mode. And there is a man online who is from Turkey who has said the bus has passed through the village, and not a single one of the 11 World Health Organization specialists got off the bus. You cannot do epidemiology unless you interview the families. Now, why? We don't know, have the answer to that question yet. We are hoping that it's something like they didn't have their spacesuits with them, you know, to gown up in the whole business to protect themselves. We're hoping that they are going to be doing that very soon. But the World Health Organization also announced today that they are sending additional experts, two more epidemiologists and a couple more microbiologists over there. So the big question is, well, why couldn't the ones there already do it? Or maybe they didn't send epidemiologists as they originally said. So we have this situation which bears such close watching because simultaneously China is in its sudden effort to disclose that they have human cases, is now up to its ninth dead victim in China. People have had conjecture all along, and I think I told you last time that Hong Kong physician went over to China and met with all of his other physician friends, and they gave him samples. And he came back to Hong Kong and said, it is in every corner of China. Well, the flight patterns of these birds from Qinghai Lake in China, six flyways actually crisscross across Turkey. This would explain why it is so widespread across Turkey, and the poverty of these villages would explain why the bird transfer to human occurred in great numbers compared to what we saw in Vietnam and Thailand and so on. And also the fact that their government was not communicating with them, telling them the real probability of human infections. So we here in the United States, I don't know if you're aware of it, but this week, Friday, as a matter of fact, the government announced that it was going to be releasing its advisory to American citizens to prepare for a human pandemic. It is an 18-page advisory. It was just released. Now, we're going to put the link to that advisory on the ARC Institute website tonight because somehow people keep writing to us and saying they're not able to find it on the Department of Health and Human Services website and they don't know where to go and so on. So we'll make it easy. You go to ARKInstitute.com ARK Institute.com, ARKInstitute.com, and we're putting that link up. Give us 3 to 4 hours because we just got it. We're putting up the link. It's an 18-page pamphlet that should be in every home in the country.
Is that the one that has 100 recommendations of the things to get?
No, this is not the 100 recommendations. This tells you things that you need to do. For example, all the things that I have been sharing with you for the past year and a half. Water supplies in your home, food supplies. But then it goes on, and people should sit up and take notice. They don't say this stuff lightly. Be prepared to homeschool your children. This is from your own government. Be prepared to homeschool your children. Be prepared to ask your insurance company now and your doctors about getting months ahead supply of your medications that you need to stay healthy. They have a checklist. They ask you to make a list of all of the meds that you take, any allergies in your family, any health issues in your family, and have that available. Reason is, they know that they're going to be quarantining you, or you're going to do it voluntarily or involuntarily. You're going to have to be quarantined. They are talking about pandemics don't happen quickly. They can last several months. Well, what they haven't said in that document is they last several months, and then they go around the world again, and they come back again as a different beast with further mutations and changes, maybe a little weaker this time, but hits all the rest of the people who survived the first wave, and they go around between 2 and 4 times around the world. So the things that I have been talking to you about for a very long time, about the need for preparedness, is so absolutely critical now that I can't say it emphatically enough. You have to understand that in Turkey right now, it's unfortunate, but the death rate is very high. Matter of fact, the ones in Indonesia, there are further clusters in Indonesia also in humans. Bigger clusters, more frequent, happening as we speak. These two are showing 76% and 67% mortality, which is absolutely stone frightening. So if this beast stays very virulent and is actually acquiring the ability to go more easily into humans from birds and then from human to human, the so-called bimodal transfer, and that's what we've seen in families before. One person in the family gets it from birds, and then all of a sudden, within a week or two, other kids or parents in the family develop symptoms. That's bimodal. There are two modes of transmission, one from the bird to human and the other human to human with close personal contact in a family setting. Now, we were looking for pandemic level 4 to start when the numbers of these family clusters increase in number and size. Looks like we have it in Turkey right now. So we may indeed be at pandemic level 4. It appears that the World Health Organization is really holding back data, tight as a clam. They're giving out little bits. Yes, this is H5N1. Yes, it is a deadly form. Yes, it's in humans. No, we don't have any proof yet that it's gone human to human. But they haven't even begun their investigation. Remember, they sat on the bus. So it's important for folks in the United States to recognize that when your government puts out on a Friday an advisory that is polished, 18 pages long, it is for a reason.
And so this was just this last Friday they put it out?
Yes, that's correct.
All right,
yes.
Fine. So then, of course, I would suggest you go to ARKInstitute.com, that's ARKInstitute.com, and pull it down, and it'll be up there very, very soon. In fact, I'll be pulling it down as well. Anyway, hang on there, Jerry.
Sure.
We're going to be back here in just a moment.
Sure.
Here at Genesis, as we begin to explore, could something like this happen? Could there simply be a deadly epidemic that would sweep through the world? Does somebody know something that we don't know? Are you prepared not to be able to go out and leave your home for a period of time, perhaps days at a time, weeks at a time, months at a time? We're going to be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jerry Guidetti, and we're talking about what's going on in the world. And, of course, Jerry is right on top of the threat of the avian flu epidemic, which has actually killed hundreds of millions of birds, and certainly in China they're slaughtering the birds. Do we have any idea how many birds they've slaughtered in China? I mean, they were talking about killing up to several hundred million birds there.
Right, and unfortunately, they're slaughtering chickens. Birds by the dairy poultry, thousands and thousands. But here is the other disturbing thing. You know how we have talked about in China, 8,000 of the birds died. The bar-headed geese, for example, died. This is when the first mutation occurred that made this normal influenza in birds that they could fly around with. It wasn't really harming them. It mutated, and it formed a form that will kill the birds. Well, in China and in Vietnam and Thailand and Indonesia, the birds were dying in massive numbers, and then they were culling or killing the rest. Well, in Turkey, unfortunately, the birds are sick, and there are some dying. But the comment by their health minister yesterday was, it is exceedingly grave. We have never seen this many human infections when the numbers of deaths in birds are relatively small. Now, that is a huge red flag for the scientists, because scientists are saying, has this thing mutated so that it is now more easily able to infect humans, and yet it's not killing as many birds? Is it becoming acclimated or adapted to the human system? Well, the interesting thing about the mutations that we see in the PB2 gene, for example, is that it is mutating into a form that makes it possible to enter the nose of humans in the cold. And the temperature inside the nose of a human in cold weather is approximately 32 degrees Celsius, where the warm body temperature inside is 37.5. I'm sure you know that, Stan. So the reality is, this thing is mutated so that it can go into humans, into the human nose in cold weather, which might be the perfect mixing pot in the very cold weather that we have there in Turkey. Now, back to the guide, I pulled it up in front of me here. It's called Pandemic Influenza Planning, a Guide for Individuals and Family. And this is put out, again, by the U.S. government. It is slick looking, and you know when you see it that this is not something they just put together on Friday. This is something that has been prepared, sitting and waiting for the time when they're going to have to release it, so that we are prepared as a culture. I would argue that we're probably a little late. It's also full of pie-in-the-sky dreaming. For example, it tells you that you may not be able to go to work, so put enough money aside to live for several months without income. I don't know of too many middle-class families who can do that. They also have on one page, social disruption may be widespread. Schools may be closed for an extended period of time. Transportation services will be disrupted. People would need advice and help at home and work. Be prepared. Stay healthy. Then personal planning checklist, family emergency health information sheets, so that when they come to your door, if you say, you know, hospitals are going to be closed, if they come to your door, and you have visiting health professionals or so on, you're going to be asked to have that sheet ready.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Yep. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Jerry Guidetti. And Jerry is talking about this government checklist that was released. It was for the emergency of bird flu pandemic. Now, this just came out on Friday. Who actually put this out? Was it the CDC, NIH, FEMA?
Everybody's working together. This is pandemicflu.gov.
Pandemicflu.gov,
yes.
All right, fine. Go
they
ahead.
Have a website, yes. And the other thing they ask is that you be able to talk to your employers right now, find out if you can work from home. Ask your employer about how business will continue during a pandemic. I guarantee you, because I've been serving this community in which I live, I've been serving to try to spread the word to all the business people that I can get in contact with and the hospital. And it's like you're wearing six heads on your shoulders. They look at you in disbelief. they laugh and they say, well, we don't think this is really going to be the thing. A pandemic will come. We know it'll come. It comes every century, but it's not going to be bird flu. After all, it's just infecting birds. And I look at them and I say, no, it's not infecting birds. Aren't you keeping up on this, especially the medical professionals? And they're not.
I think it's so interesting that now the government is beginning to try to focus our attention on it. What do they know that we don't know?
Well, it's going pandemic. The stand is going human to human. It is adapting. That's what they know. It is adapting to humans, and I've been talking to you for a long time about the fact that we have adaptations, gene changes that we know have already occurred, and now it's flu season, and now maybe it will pick up one of the really good efficiency genes or cleavage site or binding site where it binds or cleaves from the human cell. Changes there. All you need is a shift in, it looks like two amino acids replacement and change in two amino acids at these sites where the virus docks with the human cell and then breaks off the human cell after it's been replicated. Well, that's all it takes to do this. And we have seen that this beast has been working its way from birds into humans with apparently increasing efficiency. To have a country suddenly, after we've tracked this thing in China for years, and Vietnam and Thailand for years, to have a country like Turkey suddenly have an explosion of human cases, you have to ask yourself, is this just because it's a cold climate, and you've got changes in the human nose there, out in the cold all the time, although you have cold areas in China too, or is it a case where because the people bring birds inside and are intimately involved with their birds, that the chances of these mutations are much greater, and that it's still only bird to human. All of us in our gut believe that something dramatic has changed here, and certainly our government believes that something has definitely changed here in Turkey. To give you an example, Bulgaria and other countries all around have closed their borders to Turkish immigrants and Turkish travelers in areas of the country affected near the border. In the great Hajj that's going on, the pilgrims all going to Mecca right now, millions and millions of people. What did we hear? 8 million or 11 million people going to visit the Hajj. This is Saudi Arabia. As you and I are speaking, Stan, the flyways for the wild birds that brought this to Turkey are crossing and landing in, bringing those birds to Saudi Arabia, to Iraq, where our soldiers are, to Iran. They're already in Azerbaijan. They're in Yemen.
And I think it's really so interesting that apparently they are not going to let anybody from Turkey into Mecca because of the concern there about the bird flu. Have you heard that?
Well, they're not doing it now, but you know what? Many of the pilgrims are already there. Saudi Arabia has issued a huge bird flu alert. They are terrified that all of these pilgrims, these Muslim pilgrims who have already come from Turkey and places from all around the world, they are all pressed together, human flesh against human flesh. Most of the times they suffer deaths there, it's because of trampling accidents. There are so many Muslims in that area. They are terrified of this thing breaking out at the Hajj in the Middle East, because in Saudi Arabia, because they are so concerned that this is going to happen. And now we're looking at human cases, likely at least limited human to human, if not broad spread human to human, throughout Turkey. The rich will likely grab their bags, their gold coins, their silver, and take off for other parts of the world. So airports are closing to traffic from these areas as well.
In other words, they're not letting people come into other countries from Turkey right at the present?
Right, they are on alert there.
All right.
All of Europe is on alert for anybody coming from Turkey.
All right, fine. Well, just hang on. We'll be back in just a few moments with Jerry Guidetti. And I think it's be well worth your while to go to her website, pull down the information, this most recent government alert, and ask yourself, why did they put that out on Friday, and why are we hearing about it? Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this afternoon is Jerry Guidetti from the Arc Institute. And here, as soon as we bring all of our other stations back on board, why, we'll want to get more information out as far as Jerry and, of course, the various products that she offers, the things that you really need to have on hand, the knowledge you need to have on hand if there is a major pandemic. And certainly, whether it's a pandemic or whether it is some other emergency, you need to be making preparations for the very difficult time that lies ahead. Certainly, the governor's wife here, Maria Scrivey here in California, has been going on television telling people to begin to get prepared. Now, why are they doing that? Why are they spending time buying time on television to warn the people of the state of California to get prepared? Do they know something's about to happen? What are your thoughts there, Jerry?
Well, they're doing it because they know. Certainly, governors are becoming more and more in the loop here because Secretary Leavitt from Department of Health and Human Services is traveling his 50-state tour to try to bring businesses and governments up to date on the fact that the federal government will not be saving them. There is no, there's nobody coming to the rescue on this. This is going to have to be a ground-up, and I would warn you, it has to be a family-up effort to save yourselves. Because even if we get very lucky and this thing decreases its fatality down to the level of what we had with the 1918 pandemic, where we quote-unquote only lost between 50 and 100 million people around the world, even if we got lucky, we're looking at millions of deaths here in the United States. And they don't want to scare people to death because we're teetering. This economy is standing on a razor's edge right now in jobs and everything else. They don't want people to stop spending. I would suggest, well, let's help them along. Let's spend on the things we need for survival. Now, what do you need? We also have, and I'm not selling this, we also have free a link to Dr. Grattan Woodson's site, where he published this physician in Georgia. He teaches medical school at Emory University. He's on the faculty there and has a huge practice as well. He's very respected. He has published a pandemic influenza preparedness book for the family. It's about 37 pages. He put it on the internet for free. In it, it tells you how to care for loved ones at home. You're not going to be able to reach the ER.
Hold that thought there, Jerry. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jerry Guidetti from the Arc Institute. And, Jerry, before we go on, Let's go ahead and get your website out where people can, of course, go and get your link to this report that's just been put out by the government, and then this report from the doctor at Emory University. They can pull these things down free off your chart. And then, of course, I want you to get your telephone number out where people can get in touch with you if they want to get the heritage seeds that you offer.
Right. 1-800-255-1912. 1-800-255-1912 is the phone number.
And of course, Jerry's actually got a great book that tells you how to grow things. Something that I thought was well worthwhile. And then how to preserve seeds and all these things if the unthinkable should happen and suddenly you weren't able to get down to the grocery store to get your food. How would you begin to prepare these things for yourself so that not only the seeds are available, but also information on how to go about growing things? Go ahead.
All right. Well, here's what's so important. The government has not gone quite far enough, and even Dr. Osterholm has said this. First of all, most families aren't going to be able to live without any income. And so what's going to happen to houses? Has the government decided to tell the banks that they have to have a forgiveness on 3 or 4 months of mortgage several years in a row in order to not have you lose your home? I doubt that's going to happen. So those things aren't happening. Insurance companies won't let you get prescriptions filled for 60, 90 days at a time. So maybe folks have to look at getting more drugs of their normal diabetes meds and so on from out of the country. Whatever it takes, they should consult with the doctor, the government, and say, how do you expect for us to do this since even Medicare won't pay prescriptions months in advance for you? So That's a problem. Now, the other thing people have to think about with respect to seeds and everything, we specialize in the Ark Institute in self-reliance technologies, self-sufficiency. As a molecular geneticist involved with plants and so on, I started out in these seeds because I saw the genetic engineering going on, and I knew that people were going to lose the ability to feed themselves because they're going to genetically engineer out of the seeds the ability for them to grow from year to year. They're going to kill, with the Terminator technology, for example, the ability for you to save tomato seeds out of your tomatoes to grow tomato plants next year. So the Ark Institute began with concern for food supply and what genetic engineering was doing to potentially cause a starvation scenario for the globe's people. Well, if you look at this situation with bird flu, if we have 50% or even 33% of the global population infected at any one time this pandemic goes around the globe, you're going to be looking at this commercialized seed and food production system collapse, because you're not going to have the scientists in the labs. You're not going to have the men to run the combines. You're not going to have the people to run the food lines for canning the veggies. You're not going to have the oil to produce the fertilizers and the gas to produce the fertilizers, the oil to produce the herbicides and pesticides and so on. You're going to look at interruptions in food supply at every level, from your grocery store down to agriculture in the field, and we are already facing tremendous weather problems. In my this biologist's mind, I see a perfect storm here developing. And people have to understand that if we go into a pandemic, and this isn't hype, it's not scare tactics, it's none of these. We have three pandemics a century. We had three last century. Two were mild because they were human-type flus. One was a beast in 1918, killed so many, especially the young, just like this. By the way, in the 102 people that I currently count in Turkey that are infected and waiting for confirmation of that infection, almost all of them are little children. The 1918 influenza also attacked the young. First of all, in Turkey, the situation is the children take care of the chickens. They bring in the eggs, they slaughter the chickens, and so on. That might be why the little children are getting it most of the time. In the past, people between childhood and 40 got it, but it killed all the young. Some middle-aged, older died, but more young people died. And the reason is, the better your immune system, the more it can mount an attack against this virus, and mounting the attack involves making the blood vessels permeable so all of the white cells and macrophages can go out and gobble up viruses. And in the process, hemorrhaging occurs because you have such a great immune system that you cause the release of these cytokines that cause all of these other phenomena that result in the turning blue of the ears first and then the face and bleeding in the throat and all of these hideous symptoms. What scares me, too, about this one is a description by a man online who lives in Turkey who said that the chickens in his neighbor's yard who died were bleeding from every orifice, and their combs had turned blue. That's just like what happens in humans. And so that tells me that we have this same kind of bug, this avian-based bug that we saw in 1918, which made that century's pandemic the biggest in that century. Now, we're in a new century here. And we haven't had, we're overdue for a pandemic. It's been 37 to 38 years since the pandemic. And that was a mild one last time. This time, we're seeing parallels to 1918 that are frightening. And unfortunately, for example, my community, I talked to an RN yesterday in my community, asked him, how many mechanical ventilators do we have? He said one, and it is so archaic, I don't even know if it could be set up. Ask that question of your local hospitals. But anyway, getting back to the agriculture, if there's one thing that I would really beg people to do, is right now it is January. You know when planting begins in your area. I would strongly recommend that you get yourself seed, preferably seed that can be regrown year to year to year. The old variety is the heirlooms. You don't have to buy it from the Ark Institute. We have a huge collection, 40 varieties, okay, to balance so that people can live long term. But if you have access to non-hybrid heirlooms, friends, or picking and choosing among things that you find in catalogs or so on, God bless you. Go for it. You need to have balanced numbers of seeds, balanced for nutrition, great numbers of seeds, and get enough that you can help your neighbor, you can share some, and get enough that you can grow food for a couple, 3 years, because no pandemic lasts only a few months. They don't want to tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that it goes around the world several times, and just because you survived, you caught it and survived the first time around, does not mean that you can't catch it again and die the second time around. So you will be told again, well, when people start dying and showing up at hospitals with flu, that's when they're going to say, oops, it's here again. And then they're going to say, schools are closed again. And until further notice, and you're going to be asked to homeschool. To see this in the government's own publication is astounding. The other thing I would ask is, in addition to getting yourself your seeds so that you can grow, even on in pots on your patio, on your sidewalk, near your home if you don't have a garden, plant tomato plants in your landscaping, do everything you can to make yourself more self-reliant and self-sufficient. Download the free doctor's 38-page thing on how to take care of your family, and in it you'll find solutions that you can make up. If you don't have Pedialyte or Gatorade or something else around, and that I would consider something you should stock up on, you can make your own fluid replacement formulas. So many people die of dehydration with influenza, and you can literally save your loved ones' lives by dripping these fluids down their throats while they are suffering, trying to make it through this. He also tells you in his booklet who will live by their symptoms or could live, and who is likely to expire, and don't waste your resources, just make them comfortable, and how to do that. These are terrible topics to have to consider. We have never faced it in our lifetime. I'm not old enough to remember 1918. I have read everything I could on it. But I can tell you that this is real. A pandemic is going to happen. It might not be H5N1 in its current form. It might mutate in a different way coming out of Turkey. But right now, if it's human to human in Turkey, we could be as close as 48 to 72 hours away from the arrival to our shores in the United States. Again, that's not to cause panic. That's just doing a reality check. Now, between you and me, Stan, I pray all the time that we have a year or two so that we can make preparations, and also scientists can find, medical people can find another way to deal with this thing, because we won't have a vaccine. There's nothing coming from the top. There's nothing that's going to save you. And Tamiflu, there's not enough in the world to give to 50% of the population as a something that will lessen the symptoms so that you have a greater chance of survival. Keeping your children in is going to be absolutely stone critical if this thing comes around. So with this kind of background, if people understand that you do have some control over this situation, but it's up to you. It's like Katrina. Don't sit back and wait for somebody to come. The cavalry is not coming. We have some hopeful things on the horizon, but nothing tested and working now, and we're not first in line to get it anyway.
And I think it's so interesting. If you look and see what happened in Katrina, there were some people there who had preparation. They had generators, they had food, they had everything that they needed to be able to survive. The rest of them were taken off to the Astrodome or to the Superdome or you know, to the convention center, and there were no facilities there. And then, of course, FEMA was there blocking any effort to bring in help, blocking the efforts of people who wanted to bring in supplies and blocking the food and the other things. And then, of course, the FEMA people or somebody told the people, to walk out of there, just walk across the bridge. Are there buses on the other side of the bridge there? And there weren't any buses there.
Right.
And then they get started getting shot out, and a total chaos and pandemonium. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot depend upon the government to look after you. And if you do, I will tell you, I've been to meetings with FEMA people who will tell you, we are not there to help you. We're there for control, but not to help. You better start making preparations. And the great tragedy is, the people are not making preparations because they don't believe it could happen here.
Well, I'm waiting for some newspaper like USA Today or someone to do the proper thing, and that is to print this government pamphlet that was released just on Friday so that everyone, not just people who listen to this radio or people who are on a computer, everyone will have an opportunity to consider the facts. Now, the facts aren't all spelled out in full gory detail. They try to have a nice level-headed, level-handed approach to this thing. But when you read between the lines, you realize this fancy booklet was not made yesterday. It wasn't made last Friday. It has been under development for some time. And it is put out there so that they are hoping that people are going to calmly and methodically begin to prepare themselves for what's to come. Again, it may be, maybe this particular H5N1 won't be the beast. And remember, I told you time before last, Dan, H5N1 has arrived to North America. It is up in Canada, and it's in the so-called low pathogenic form. It's not the Qinghai Lake form. At least we don't see it yet. And it can also mutate to become the high pathogenic form at any time. We saw that in the Asian countries. So it's here in North America. If it's in Canada, the birds don't see the border between Canada and the United States. The flyways take them all the way down south. So it is spreading here as low pathogenic. You can bet your bottom dollar that that is happening as we speak. It's only a matter of time before we get our first cases here of dying birds in the United States. That is the nature of a pandemic. These birds fly across the ocean. They fly across the Bering Strait into Alaska and down into the States and down into California and so on. And it's going to eventually get here. Now, having said that, that is the bird pandemic. The big thing, Turkey had made a comment 2 weeks ago that, yes, some birds are dying, but we don't have any human problems. It's a bird problem. We've heard that here in the United States. It's a bird problem. Well, it's baloney. And World Health Organization actually made the statement last week that they were blindsided on this, that they didn't expect this. It took them by surprise, is the phrase they used. Why? We've been telling them for how long? Dr. Nyman's been telling them, everybody's been telling them for how long, that it was the migratory birds that were spreading it, that they were arriving into Europe. There was no stopping this thing. You can kill all the birds you want. You're not stopping it. It's only a matter of time. The only thing we can do is slow it down. So, again, take advantage of the freebies, and then we ask you, from the ARC Institute, we ask you to please, if you are a person who has a few extra dollars, please take those copyright-free publications, one by the government, one by Dr. Grattan Woodson, right on our site. Get the links, copy, print out a copy, and then take it to a copy center. And for as much as you can afford, print them out, staple them together, and give them to families you know do not have computers, don't have access to this information, and encourage them to prepare. We are our brother's keepers, and it's really important that we reach out in our community and help those who have zero awareness about this. I know we're doing that here. There are a few of us, a handful of us, who are doing this and trying to help the more needy folks in our community to think about, okay, maybe you can do without coffee this week. And without coffee, then buy beans instead. Buy ready-made foods, canned tins of stews and things like that. Figure out how much you need to stay indoors.
Well, just quit going to Starbucks, because that's pretty expensive coffee. Anyway, going to be just taking a break here,
and we
have Jeannie on the line. We'll just ask Jeannie to hang on. We'll be with her in just a moment. Our guest today is Jerry Guidetti from the ARC Institute. Jerry, let's get your website off one more time and your telephone number.
ARKINSTITUTE.com, ARK with a K, ARKinstitute.com, 1-800-255-1912, 1-800-255-1912.
And, of course, you can get the free reports there, the government report that came out last Friday, and then the report from the Dr. Emery Institute. Get them, read them, and give serious consideration. What would happen if the unthinkable were to occur? This is the time to make preparations, not, of course, when everybody else is panicked. We'll be back, and we'll take Jeannie in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Jeannie, do you have a question for our guest?
I sure do. Jerry, this kind of coincides with the foreign affairs publication by CFR, Council on Foreign Relations.
In fact, they had a very excellent article there about two or three months ago by Dr. Osterholm.
Yes.
In fact, they had three articles. And the question is, why was the Council on Foreign Relations drawing our attention to it? A very good question, and it was a frightening article if you read what Dr. Osterholm said.
Yes. And what was your question, Jeannie?
It's just in the back of my mind where we know the CFR wants to collapse the economy of the United States and the world to come into this world government. And it's easy to blame the birds, the flyways, but in the back of my mind, we know that they have mutated the viruses in the laboratories.
Okay, can I answer that? Because I know we're going to run out of time here.
Okay.
At this point, it doesn't matter, Jeannie, whatever your belief is, how the virus occurs and so on, it does not matter. It is here. And here's the truth about mutating viruses. The former Soviet Union, our own government was involved in virus mutation experiments for defense and so on as a bioterrorist thing years ago. The reason they had stopped, especially the Soviet Union, from scientists on the inside is because they realized they cannot control it. Viruses mutate so rapidly out in the environment that you can put out your mutated form and give it 20 minutes and it's going to change. It just happens. And so there is no protection that they are going to be able to protect their cronies from dying or even themselves individually from dying because the virus is constantly changing. So that backfires on anybody but the most suicidal idiots, fanatics in the world. It's going to backfire on them. So this one, go back to 1918.
We're just about out of time. Let's get Jeannie. Have a quick response, Jeannie, because we're just about out of time.
I think we need to know where the mutated virus is, and I believe, and it's possible, the heavy chemtrails. Oh. And I know a NASA, a classified man, and he has said they're putting a lot of dope, he called, into the air.
Okay, well, if that is true, that's fine. It's not fine, but if that's true, so be it. However, Jeannie, the truth is there are at least 20 or 30 varieties of H5N1 out there right now by natural, God-given mutation ability.
Okay, Jerry, thank you.
Sure.
We're just about out of time. Jerry Guidetti, thank you so very much for being with
My
us.
My pleasure.
It's always a pleasure. And again, that telephone number one more time.
1-800-255-1912.
And it doesn't matter how we got it. We're in trouble. Bye-bye.
We're in trouble.
God
bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I certainly agree that we have a problem, and it does, as Jeannie was saying, maybe this is a government biowarfare program. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It doesn't really matter how we got it. The question is, what are we going to do if the unthinkable should happen? Why is the government at this time putting out a new directive? Certainly,
We find that we're moving rapidly, in my estimation, towards a war in the Middle East. Within the last 3 days, somebody happened to just accidentally kill the commander of the military in Iran. They said it was a plane accident. And then within the last 2 weeks, there was an assassination attempt on the president of Iran. You're not hearing about it here in America. A very definite effort is being made to overthrow the government of Syria. And I suspect it'll either be an invasion or we will manipulate and overthrow the government of Syria. They've established a government in exile for Syria in Paris. And the former vice president of Syria now is trying to overthrow President Assad of Syria. I think we're going to try to overthrow the government of Iran. If not, there'll probably be a limited nuclear strike sometime within the next few months on Iran's nuclear producing facilities. We are living in very, very dangerous times. And, of course, more and more countries are beginning to divest themselves, American dollars. If that should happen on a worldwide scale, it would lead to a financial collapse of this country, as literally trillions of dollars out there that are being used as reserves for the nations of the world that begin to return to America begin to make preparations. I don't know what the future holds. I do know one thing for certain, and that is there's no incident in all history where a nation is turned against God, when God has not withdrawn his blessing from that nation. So we hope that many of you will go to Jerry Guidetti's website, that you go to my website of RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And look at the material we have. Understand the spiritual nature of the battle we're involved in. Get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or Ted Flynn's book, Hope of the Wicked. Get our 4-tape set on Satanism and Deliverance, on Aleister Crowley, on the church growth movement, which is taking people away from the traditional religion. And we're told in Thessalonians 2, the third verse, 2 Thessalonians 2, the third verse, that before the man of sin is revealed, there'll be a great falling away of the people of God. Is it happening today? Are we coming up with new types of religion, doing away with the old form of Christianity? Is Christianity under attack? Those of you who saw the program last Friday on NBC, local affiliate, one on the Book of Daniel, have to recognize that Christianity is under attack. It's being attacked by our television. It's being attacked by our motion pictures. It's being attacked by our Supreme Court and by our schools and by our courts and by our media. And, of course, as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And so please remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our web page is RadioLiberty.com. And remember, of course, we do carry many items there, that certainly the Berkey items that will help you, because you need some means of getting fresh or potable water. And, of course, we have so many books and videos and 4-tape sets that will help you to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle that's taking place in America today. And if I could suggest our 4-tape set on Satanism and Deliverance, and then we mentioned earlier the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, and then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason why God should ever again bless this nation? We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization.